Now, we're dealing in these meetings with big questions that really demand an answer. I said on Sunday afternoon, and I probably said it last night as well, that not every question even deserves an answer. There are some questions that are so trivial and so unimportant that we don't give the time to answer some trivial questions. But the questions that I would like to take up this week are questions that not only deserve an answer, but demand an answer. We thought about last night, can we know the way to heaven? Are there many ways to heaven? And the answer is found in the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is one way to heaven. There is a way to heaven, thank God. It's found exclusively in the person of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We started on Sunday afternoon with life's ultimate question. What must I do to be saved? And the answer is found in the very next verse. Believe. Put your confidence. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him wholeheartedly. Tonight I would like to turn your attention to Mark's Gospel and chapter 8, please. The Gospel according to Mark. Reading in chapter 8. And the question is posed at verse 36 by the Lord Jesus himself. Verse 38 of Mark chapter 8, sorry, verse 36 of Mark chapter 8. These are the words of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Solemn words. We look, as always, to God for his blessing as we have read his word. The Lord Jesus Christ here in Mark chapter 8 poses a very serious, solemn question. And I'll put it like this. The Lord Jesus is saying, imagine if you gained all the money in life. Imagine if you had all the popularity that was on offer in life. Imagine you had everything that this world prizes and prioritizes. Imagine you had all the wealth. Imagine you had all the popularity and the position and the power. Imagine you had it all. And then lost your soul. What good would that do you? What good would that do you? I remember as a child growing up, just with my mum. My dad died when I was three, and my mum, as a Christian mother, made it her business that I heard the gospel. And I remember. She was really good, as I got a wee bit older, about putting leaflets, gospel leaflets, by my bedside. And I remember there was one leaflet she put by my bedside, and it was really the folly of procrastination. The folly of procrastination. What do I mean by that? You see, I knew that I wasn't here forever. I knew there was heaven or hell at the end of life's journey. I knew I had God to meet, but as a teenager, I just kept on procrastinating. I kept on putting off the matter of my soul's salvation. And maybe you've been doing that for years. Maybe you're a past master at putting off life's greatest matter. But my mother, she would constantly be putting leaflets by my bedside or on my desk. And it was one leaflet, and it was all about the shortness of time and the immensity of eternity. and the importance of seeking the Lord. And I'll never forget the leaflet. It was the story of a young man who had promised his parents that he would think seriously about his soul. His parents had told him repeatedly the value of his soul, the preciousness of his soul, how his soul would live on in eternity, either in heaven or hell. And he kept on saying, one of these tomorrows I'll get saved. One of these tomorrows I'll seek the Lord. One of these days, but not today, maybe tomorrow. Well, he left home and he lived his life. And as an old man, he wrote these words. Tomorrow, I promise my conscience. Tomorrow, I mean to be saved. Tomorrow, I'll think as I ought to. Tomorrow, my Savior received. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Thus, day after day, it went on. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Till youth like a vision had gone. Till age with its passion had written its message too late on my brow. And forth from the shadows came death with its pitiless syllable now. I remember reading that leaflet and I saw myself in years down the line. If I kept rejecting Christ, if I kept putting off, if I kept procrastinating, thank God I did get saved. I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And I'm glad to tell you tonight, although the matters are solemn that we're dealing with, life's ultimate questions, we're not here forever. Every one of us are going somewhere. It's either heaven or hell for eternity. There's no other way of putting that. It's heaven or hell. Christ with him or without him. And as you think of what we're dealing with tonight, if you're only living for just now, if you're only living for now, I want you to think seriously. Think wisely. The Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The importance of understanding that a man's life does not consist in the amount of things that he possesses. The Lord Jesus said that in Luke chapter 12. He spoke to a man who wanted to sort out a family difficulty over an inheritance. And he says, a man's life doesn't consist only in the things that he possesses. Do you know, as I read this verse, I feel greatly challenged. Because Christians, sadly, can become very occupied with transient things, with wealth and things. But that's not what life is all about. I remember reading another leaflet. It goes something like this. To lose your wealth is much. To lose your health, much more. But to lose your soul, that is such a loss that no one can restore. True satisfaction here and now is not found in things. It's not found in toys. It's not found in money. It's not found in holidays. It's not found in houses. It's not found in possessions. True satisfaction, peace with God, being in a right relationship with God, is found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, as we were singing this evening, now none but Christ can satisfy. Have you experienced that for yourself? Are you living in the enjoyment of true satisfaction? You see, if you don't have Christ, you'll never be truly satisfied. A wise man said that
He that loves silver shall not be satisfied alone with silver. And the eye is not satisfied with seeing, neither is the ear filled with hearing. All of us have been made in God's image, made for God. All of us have got an aching void in our hearts that can only be filled by Christ. We were made for God, for His pleasure, for His glory, in His likeness. And you'll never be truly satisfied as a human being here on earth until you come face to face with the Christ of God, the Son of God, who loved you and went to Calvary to die for you, to bring you into a right relationship with the God of heaven. Christ is not only the Savior of the world, but He's the satisfier of His people. Have you come to appreciate that? Because if all your joys and all your longings and all your hopes and all your ambitions are centered in this now world, you will be seriously disappointed. I know that the message that is preached in the media and really the radio and the internet or whatever the media outlet is, the message is this, that gold is the god of this world. And that whether it's individualism or materialism, my own pleasure is chief. My own comfort is paramount. My own desires, individualism, materialism, it's anti-God, anti-God. And as I said already, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. There was a young woman in the town of Bathgate, about 2 miles from where I live. And my wife and I, well, I'm saying my wife and I occasionally went with my wife to help. Not that I don't like going shopping, but occasionally I had to go and help. And we knew this girl. She worked at Tesco's. Her name was Lisa. She became known as Lotto Lisa because she won $3,500,000 on the lottery about 10 years ago. I met her maybe about 6 months ago. She obviously gave up her job at Tesco. But I met her about 6 months ago. She's bankrupt. She doesn't have a penny to her name. Her family have been pulled apart by strife over the money. She rues the day that she won £3.5 million. Bankrupt, divorced twice, doesn't even have custody of her children, an alcoholic, life ruined. Money is not the answer to the problems of the human heart. There's a man in the Bible, and I've already referred to Luke chapter 12, and he really thought that all his Christmases had arrived on the one day. And in Luke chapter 12, this farmer, and he was a hard worker, and let me say just as a caveat to all this, working hard and providing for our family is absolutely necessary. It's the love of money is the root of all evil, the lust after it. We brought nothing into the world and we'll take nothing out, but while we're in the world, should work. We shouldn't be spongers. We should work hard and pay our way. But if all we're here for is to make money and keep God out of our life, that is all wrong. And in Luke chapter 12, he's a hard-working farmer, I'm sure. And he has an absolute bumper crop. A bumper crop, unlike anything he'd ever experienced. So much so, he must take a bit of time to get a business plan put together. And he planned. And he had a projection that through his business plan, he was able to retire. Such was the bumper crop All his silos were filled. It was a tremendous summer, if you like. Everything. Barns not big enough. Silos filled. Pull down the barns. Build greater. Fill the barns. Live off the fruit of the land. Retire. Take my ease. I've got years ahead of me. I've worked hard all my life. Now, nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing. I would tip my hat to that. Nothing wrong with that at all. What was wrong? He left God out of his plans. He left God out of his projection. He left God out of his very thinking. It was all about my barns, my plans, my business, my goods, my fruits, much goods, many years. I'll retire and just forget about working again. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What will not matter that about the barns or the business plan or the retirement? You're dying and you're going to die tonight. That is solemn, isn't it? Please don't be offended if you think I'm calling you a fool. But the Lord Jesus says that you're a fool if your plans end in the grave. The definition of a fool, someone whose plans end in the grave. I've spoken to really astute, hard-working, professional people today in the town of Wallingford. And they're no slouches, and they're intellectuals. But God isn't in their thinking. They don't want to retain God. Romans 1, they don't want to retain God in their thinking. And with all their intellect, and with all their professionalism, and with all their class, they don't have God. And their plans end in the grave. What about you tonight? Would you face up to it? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You might think, well, I don't need to face up to that because I'm not money orientated. But 100 out of 100 die. And where will you be 5 seconds after you die? All your plans? I remember being in Fraserburgh for a gospel meeting some years ago. I spoke to an elderly man and he invited me in and we had a chat and he said, I think about these eternal things. I respect the Bible and I respect the people from the gospel hall and I think about eternal things. And I was really getting excited. I thought, this is good. He says, I've got it all sorted out. What do you mean, sir? Well, I've got my plot all bought and I've got my retirement pack. I've got my funeral package all paid for. And that was as far as his plans went. His funeral, his headstone. Dear love him. He didn't last that long. Before the year was out, he was dead. We're frail creatures. There's just a step between us and death. We don't know the day of our death. Barzillai in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel asked King David the million-dollar question, how long have I to live? We don't know how long we're here for. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And if you die in your sins, if you die unprepared, if you die without being rich towards God, your soul will be lost, separated from God in the eternal burnings forever, ultimately in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. What a loss is this? Indescribable, unspeakably sad, tragic, to be lost forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to this farmer, didn't even become a rich farmer, didn't have time. Became a fool. You're a full man. This night thy soul should be required of thee. What if this was your night? Every one of us had a date that we can look back to when we were born. And just as there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. There's a date in the calendar of God, in the sovereign God of the universe's calendar. There is a date when you and me will die. Where will your soul be? Oh, the tragedy of this. The tragedy of this. Do you know, I want to tell you tonight that the best things in life don't come from a millionaire's credit card. I want to speak about God's free salvation this evening. I want to speak about God's grace. God who is rich in mercy. God who is rich in grace. The God of heaven who so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Your soul can be saved, safe, secure. You can be in a right relationship with God this evening. You can be rich towards God by placing your confidence, your faith, by admitting, I am a sinner, and turning away from your sins in repentance, and turning to the Lord Jesus, and embracing him by faith. Placing your confidence in him as the Son of God and the Savior that you desperately need. And he went to the cross to be the Savior, your Savior. The wonder of that grips my soul. You need not perish. God has no favorites. God loves you. And Christ died that you might be saved. And you can be saved this evening. Your soul does not have to be lost. Your soul can be saved this very night. You don't have to wait, as some people get this picture in their minds of arriving at the pearly gates and hoping for the best. You can be safe and secure and satisfied tonight. And you know, money doesn't come into it. God is not impoverished by saving your soul tonight. God is rich in mercy. He's a God of amazing, amazing resources. And in the person of his Son, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who enacted the great plan of salvation at Calvary's cross, you can come into the good of that by faith tonight. But you know, I was thinking about this today. Here's something that money can't buy. Money can't buy you happiness. Money cannot buy you happiness. Please distinguish between happiness and entertainment, or happiness and pleasure. Pleasure, entertainment is fleeting. Happiness is deep-seated and lasting. Here's a question for everybody tonight. Are you truly happy? Are you truly happy? Do you have real joy? The Bible speaks about a Christian as someone who has joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it's all centered in the Son of God who suffered and has entered into glory. Have you got joy like that? I'm thinking of the words of David in Psalm number 32. He says, Oh the happiness, oh the blessedness of the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happiness is being in a right relationship with God. Is that you? Are you that person who knows true happiness? Not fake emotionalism. Not kind of some kind of spurious, worked up emotion. I'm talking about deep in your soul. You know there's a clear sky between you and God. You know God. You know his Son. This is life eternal. That you know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. That's true happiness. And you know, that cannot be bought by money. Money can buy you a lot of things, but it can't buy you a right relationship with God. I was thinking about this. Do you know, as I was going through Wallingford today, there's a number of eating places. You don't need to go hungry in Wallingford, and I certainly don't need to get hungry and get very well fed without going near any shops. But there's any amount. It was standing room only at Waitrose coffee shop today. I think that was more to do with the rain, right enough. But there's any amount of eating places. I would judge you'd need to have a wee bit of money to chop at Waitrose, but that's the Scottishman coming out in me. But money can buy you a lot of food, but it can't buy you an appetite. Money can buy you the best bed. There's a man that I shared a meeting with once, and in a former life, a few decades ago, he was a bed salesman, and boy, he can tell you about all kind of beds. And you can spend thousands on a bed. It can't buy you a good night's sleep. Maybe the reason that you can't sleep and you've got no appetite is because you know deep in your heart you're fatally flawed. And you've got no peace with God. And there's no closure about the past. Your sins come back to haunt you. And the guilt of your sin grips you. And going forward, there's just a fearful forward looking to of judgment. There's no hope for the future. There's no peace for the present. There's no contentment. There's no satisfaction. It's because there's no Christ in your life. But that all changes. True happiness is found in a right relationship with God through his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. Have you come to enjoy that? Oh, for years and years and years, growing up, I knew all about Christ and Calvary and heaven and hell from a wee boy. But in my late teens, I just thought, it's all irrelevant. God's irrelevant. Christ 2,000 years ago, so what? But see the joy. The joy of coming from darkness to light, from distance to nearness, from the broad road to the narrow road, and appreciating at Calvary's cross, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, the bliss. Oh, the joy of knowing through faith in Christ my sins, not in part but the whole, were nailed to his cross and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Oh my soul, the happiness of sins forgiven and peace with a holy God. You see, money can buy you a lot of things, but not happiness. The currency that God demanded to provide happiness for sinners was his Son's precious blood. And at the cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ went into the unimaginable depths of suffering at the hand of a sin-hating, angry God. And Jehovah, the Lord God of heaven, unleashed his sword of justice. And in the language of Zechariah 13, verse 7, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow." It's the Lord Jesus. "Smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered." And at Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself and laid a righteous basis that the God of heaven was satisfied with to come on to and pardon and forgive and justify and bless and acquit every sinner who'll come to God through the Lord Jesus. That's where true happiness is found. True peace is found in the Lord Jesus too. Peace cannot be bought with money. If you read the news at all, or I don't know if anybody buys papers anymore, but does money make all these celebrities happy? They're in and out of clinics, they're miserable, suicidal. There's no peace. The wicked will never have peace. Peace is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace by the blood of his cross. Peace. Perfect peace. Maybe you've got no real peace of mind tonight because you know, even when you try to not think about it, when you push it to the back of your mind, you know in your heart of hearts you're not in a right relationship with God. I was telling some people recently, just last month, in the town where I live, we had gospel meetings for the whole month. Myself and Brother Jackson, and preaching the gospel. The first Thursday night, there was a 19-year-old girl whose grandfather is a believer. And she thought she was in a right relationship with God because she said a wee prayer when she was 5 or 6 in the Sunday school. But her life didn't correspond to that of a Christian. She knew in her heart of hearts there was no peace. She found out that first Thursday evening, first Thursday in October, that she was not in a right relationship with God and Christ was not her Savior. The way she put it, she said, I just wasn't connected like my grandpa is. I don't have what my grandpa has. Thank God that night she made it her business to find out and to embrace Christ and get connected. The verse that helped her greatly was Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God she made that call. Would you make that call tonight? You're perishing. You're dying. You're heading for eternal destruction. And what will it profit you? Whether you've been the best neighbour, whether you've been the greatest benefactor, whether you've been a good man or a bad man, it doesn't matter. All that matters is this, that your soul is saved. Because what will it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Peace can't be bought. Happiness can't be bought. As I close, unconditional love cannot be bought. We love people who love us. We like to be our love to be reciprocated. Do you know God loves us when we don't give him a second thought? I've already quoted John 3:16, but listen to this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And whosoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. The God of heaven loves you unconditionally. The God of heaven has provided salvation for guilty, depraved sinners like you and me. He's willing to bring you into his family because he loves you. Unconditional love. That can't be bought. I know you get dictators like the man in North Korea who is craving the love of his subjects. And in his warped, twisted way, if he doesn't get the affection, it's good night. The God of heaven loves us and has provided salvation at intimate cost. The question we must face up to tonight is this. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I hope your plans don't end in this now world. Hope you're preparing to meet God. Hope you have prepared, or you will prepare, that you will seek the Lord tonight. You will call upon him while he is near. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sufficient Saviour of the world. In him is found full salvation because of who he is and because of what he did and because he rose from the dead and because he's in heaven and because he's coming back. Every knee will bow one day and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Would you not do that now and get the matter settled and know the joy, happiness, peace, love of God that is on offer through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. We're going to pray now and look to God for his blessing.